Hello, I'm Kevin Bray, and I've been watching a lot of Japanese dubbed Dragon Ball Z.
I'm Stephen Duncan. Has Goku stopped yelling yet?
No, he never does, and neither do we. And this is Level 7 Podcast.
And welcome to the Level 7 Podcast. Today, we're talking about Final Fantasy 13.
And we're talking about if the Wii U has a possible release date.
And for our main topic, we're going to talk about what games we want to see get a sequel or a remake. Yeah, it'll be fantastic, won't it?
That's a lot of choices right there.
Yeah, it is. So let's get into the topics. City of Heroes is closing down their servers, and fans have started a petition to stop NCSoft from doing so. Do you think there will be any success to this?
Well, they need still 9,000 odd signatures for the petition to even work, because they're at, like, I think 16,000, something like that. They need, and even then, it's only 25,000 signatures. I mean, that only represents maybe 25,000 players.
Right.
So I don't even know if that's enough for them to change their mind.
Well, something the fans have to realize, this was up for 8 years. That's a long time for an MMO.
The thing is, even back in 2008, they only had 125,000 players. I mean, RuneScape has that many players.
Yeah, there's...
That's, you know, online Java game.
Yeah, there's... I think that it's just a financial thing. So showing your desire to play the game probably won't keep it open. There are, you know, financial costs to keeping these servers up. And if there's not enough profit coming in, then there's no reason to keep them open.
You see, that's not even the thing. NCSoft is even closing Paragon Studios, which is the place that develops it. So not only are they closing the studios, it's like they're scrubbing over the game, you know, just say, well, whatever, we'll just get rid of it completely.
I don't think it's so much that. NCSoft could be just in financial turmoil, and sometimes you have to axe certain game studios. If certain game studios aren't giving you the profit margins that you want, you kind of got to get rid of them. You got to restructure.
Supposedly, the fans are claiming that City of Heroes is not responsible for the loss in NCSoft profits. Other games that they are pushing forth are.
I'll believe that when someone who's, you know, a master in financial studies tell me that. Of course, a fan's going to tell you that it's not responsible. A fan doesn't necessarily know about the financial goings-on of the company.
Okay. The speculation is finally over, and the new Final Fantasy XIII project is revealed. Lightning Returns Final Fantasy XIII is the final chapter in the Lightning Saga and will have numerous changes to the gameplay. Does this catch your attention at all?
So as someone who did go through and beat Final Fantasy XIII and XIII-2, I'm kind of interested because I want to see how the story is going to end, even though I knew that this was gonna happen. I was expecting it's kind of weird.
I'm very confused though about the story. It's saying it takes place hundreds of years after Final Fantasy 13-2.
That's because Final Fantasy 13-2 had time travel in it, so it could be hundreds of years in the future, but the character could have probably just jumped in a wormhole and popped out the other side, so it's only 2 days to them. I mean, in 13-2 you jumped across at least 800 years of time and space and all that kind of stuff. But some of the gameplay tweaks they're talking about are you only control Lightning.
Yes.
It's going to be more open world. It's going to be timed. Technically, you have 13 days of in-game time.
You got a doomsday countdown timer.
So I kind of want to see how that falls into play.
The thing is, that Majora's Mask already had that idea.
Well, there's been plenty of games that have a timer. But I want to see how they incorporate it, because certain things that you do, like riding a light rail or a train
Anything.
Or something like
it
that.
Says all actions make it go down.
Right.
Even if you die, then you can reset
using
death with time from the 13 days you
have. I want to see the gameplay tweaks they make to the combat system. You only have one character, so is it going to be more menu-based? Is it going to be more action-based? Those are the things.
The real time in the battle, so I'm guessing it's going to, going to assign buttons, attacks to the buttons and do that. That would probably make the most sense.
It would, but I'm hoping it becomes more action RPG-ish. More emphasis on the action and a little bit more emphasis on maybe the adventuring aspect.
Another thing is the art direction. They described it as going to be as gothic, mechanical, and fantasy. Only, isn't that usually what Final Fantasy games are? They're usually have gothic themes, mechanical themes, and fantasy. I mean, the name is fantasy, so I mean,
right.
Final Fantasy.
Seen gothic in some of the games, but with Final Fantasy 13, I didn't really see too many gothic themes. So that catches my interest. And I want to see where they go with that. Now, it seems Dark Souls proved too hard for some fans to handle. And the director of the two games is thinking about, dialing back a little. How would you feel about an easy mode in Dark Souls?
Like a lot of the people were saying, if it doesn't take away, I guess, from the main objective of the game, whatever the main feel of the game it is now, if that's not what the option is pushed, like the main game is always easy, and then you have the option of making it hard. It should be the option of making it easy, not the option of making it hard. So I guess as long as they don't make that the only option, it wouldn't bother me too much.
I don't think that they're going to do a mandatory easy mode. I think it's going to be like normal difficulty is the hair tearing out difficulty that is Dark Souls. And then you can elect to do easy mode. Because one of the mainstays or one of the niches of Dark Souls and Demon Souls was that it was hard.
That's what drew people to it, though.
Exactly. So I doubt that they're going to have an easy mode be the mandatory mode.
See, the director says, it is true that Dark Souls is rather difficult and a number of people may hesitate to play it. But I'm saying you could say the same thing about a golf game being boring. So let's make a golf game where you shoot golf balls from a cannon into a giant lizard's mouth on the sun. Instead of giving, the golf fans a game that they wanted, let's change the game.
But who wouldn't want a golf game where you shoot golf balls?
Not a guy who wants to play golf. He don't want to play lizard golf. He wants to play regular golf. If I'm getting Dark Souls, I don't want an easy version of Dark Souls. That's why I bought the game.
And I don't think that, like I said, you're not going to get a mandatory easy mode. However, I do think that incorporating an easy mode is a good idea, because some people want to go through, that storyline and want to go through that game world, but they don't want to deal with all of the headaches that come with the difficulty of it. So it can bring in new people, which is a good idea, and it's a good thing.
But how easy are you saying? How easy would you want to make the game?
I don't know. Something where I don't yell and scream at my television? That'd be awesome.
All right, so I've given you an entire week, Stephen. Now, as the fourth topic, you're going to assess the entirety of the 3DS system and tell me everything you love and hate about the system.
Okay, yeah. So a quick update from last week's show. I did go and get a 3DS XL. I caved. I was jonesing to have something to do during the commercials of a football season. So I won't go. The games I picked up for it were Tales of the Abyss and Mario 3D World or Mario 3D Land or whatever. Just so I could,
two pretty good ranges of, RPG and platformer. So
right. I won't really go too much in detail about the games, but both of them kind of show the 3D aspect, which is the big draw for the 3DS.
Does it still hurt? Does it hurt your eyes like it hurts some people's eyes?
I'm not completely used to it yet. Like, when I do have the 3D on, I can still tell there's something weird going on with my eyes. And Mario 3D has good 3D. And it's used pretty well. And it looks all right.
It's not just used for objects flying towards your screen?
Right. Even though you can tell that the camera angles and the levels were designed for 3D. Tails has terrible 3D. So 3D is not equal across all games. That was kind of a thing that I noticed. I like the feel of the system.
How does the controls feel?
They're okay. If I'm doing too much with the analog stick, my thumb does tend to hurt a little bit. So the ergonomics are not perfect, but I've only had it for a week. The pain has subsided a little bit, so maybe I'm getting a little bit used to it. The biggest thing that was a catch to me was the sound. The speakers are nowhere near loud enough for a system that big. The DSi XL had really loud speakers, and the 3DS does not at all. So I downloaded like the demo for the Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm game, and I didn't find the speakers adequate to play that demo. I have to use headphones when I do stuff like that.
Maybe that's what they were thinking people were going to do, was play with headphones.
Maybe so. I do think it's a good system. The game library isn't totally up to par. There was just enough games that I was like, there's enough of them that I want to try that I'll go and grab it. Overall, I'm pretty pleased with my purchase. I am glad that I waited for the XL version. That was because after playing on a DSi XL, it's really hard to go back to normal size screens for the DS systems. But so far, so good.
All right.
Hopefully it'll be a long and happy relationship with me and my new 3DS XL.
Well, those were our first four topics. When we come back, main topic, what game we want remade or to have a sequel?
We'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
And we're back. We're back to talk about our main topic, which is what sequel or remake do you want to see happen? Which, I mean, this could be a list that could go for forever and ever, but we're going to try to...
And it also has to be why we think it deserves it.
I'm guessing more than a reason of just we want it.
Yeah, but it is a little bit more than that. I mean, you know, nostalgia is a lot to it, because that's pretty much, I guarantee, what this is going to be. What game we enjoyed probably the most as we were children or when we were growing up that we want to feel the same way about again. I don't even know if that's even possible, but we're going to we hope so. We hope so.
Okay, well, knowing these rules, I'll let you go first since you're the one who wants to lay down the law.
Oh, okay then. Well, all right. I'm going to pick a game that is the first RPG I ever played, and it was one of the first games I played when I got my Super Nintendo for Christmas, and that's Super Mario RPG. And I'm going to pick that I would be happy with either option, either not an HD remake where they use, you know, Paper Mario graphics, but like, I'm talking, since this is anything that we could have, I'm talking, you know, HD graphics, HD sprites, you know, full 1080p, and that would be the remake. That would be amazing. With updated, don't change the music any, just make it all higher quality.
I was about to say, it would have to be more than MIDI, which is what it was on the SNES.
And if that's not possible, Nintendo, I'll take a sequel. You know what I mean? I'll take a sequel that looks around the same, maybe that delves into, you know, maybe. Because I don't want to see just Smithy come back. That's just lame. Maybe that dwells into Geno's past, because he's, you know, a mysterious character. I think that would be cool myself.
It would. He'd have to come back, though, because he went on and lived his life happily ever after.
I'm guarantee you he lives forever. He comes from the stars, man.
I'm not saying he was dead. I'm saying he floated off and stopped messing with the Mushroom Kingdom.
Man, he needs to come back. Show me some Geno World.
Yeah, you're going to have... Well, that would actually be cool if Mario and company had to go to his land versus him coming back.
Say, we send something to his land instead of something else breaking through it. We destroy his land, so we got to go fix it. There we go.
But who would destroy his land? Because in that series, Bowser's a good guy, which...
No, he's not a good guy. He just wants his castle back.
Well, he's close enough to...
All right, how about this? He makes a machine to go attack Mario like he always does, but it backfires and rockets him out of the top, and he destroys Star Road that way. And since he's okay about it, you know, he's sorry, he has to join Mario and friends again.
Okay, that might work, but is
contact me, Nintendo. Contact me. I'll help you out.
Yeah, but like, okay, is the machine sentient? Did he give it a soul? Is that how this happens?
Yeah, that's the final boss. When it rockets him out, it starts taking over Mushroom Kingdom. So you not only do you have to fix Star Road by going there, you have to come back. So it's even longer. It's a double Mario RPG game.
Would Mushroom Kingdom be the final level? Would that be it? The mechanized Mushroom Kingdom?
Mushroom Kingdom. You got to fight one boss in the entirety of Mushroom Kingdom.
Okay. I could get on board. I could get on board with that one.
All right. So now that I've, you know... completely given my dream away. Now it's your turn.
Okay, I'll start with something a little easier, much more nostalgia filled. Because of course I have two games. I would love to see another Breath of Fire game. I want to see a Breath of Fire 6.
Yeah, that would be nice. How do you want it?
That's a fantastic question because the jump that they made from 4 to 5 in terms of gameplay really kind of threw me for a loop. And it took me years to finally appreciate that game. But after growing up a little and going through it, I loved that gameplay. So something that's kind of the mesh between real time and turn-based could probably fit for you know, Breath of Fire 6. I would like to see something because the worlds in Breath of Fire 1 through 4 are pretty colorful and lively and, you know, kind of, well, I don't want to use the word kiddie.
No,
it's more lighthearted.
It's colorful does not mean, I mean, if you look at the world, there's colors in it. You know what I mean? So, black, you know, gray is not the world.
Right. But the fifth game really took more of a darker tone. So I would want something that was kind of a cross section of that. Yeah. Something that still has enough color and enough vibrancy, but does have the darker, more serious tone to it. I think Breath of Fire 2 did that pretty well, considering you know, you have to go against religion itself.
I really liked 3 and 4's art style and combat system. So if they made a sixth one like that and made it more in the art style of, like you said, where it's a cross between 5 and 4 and had maybe a storyline that was like 2, where it's a darker, more serious storyline, that would, you got a working game there, my friend. I would.
Yeah, I think they should really use 5, though, as kind of a platform, because like I said, 5 had the darker story. It made you care about the characters and kind of the driving plot. I cared about the conflict of what to do with Nina. So,
like you said, though, it took you a long time to appreciate the game.
Well, because when I first bought it, I was a young punk, and it didn't fit my standards of an RPG, and I'm like, I don't like the dragon counter. Blah, 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 blah. So yeah, I had to mature a little bit, but I eventually did grow to appreciate it. And that's one of the games I would like to see. I won't see it, but it is something I do want to see. The other game kind of falls into the sequel/remake category, and that's Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Oh, you don't got to worry about that. They're squirting those out.
Well,
every other day, man. I see another one on the DS or something.
No,
so.
Incorrect. I'm talking about Shin Megami Tensei, the core series. I'm not talking about Devil Summoner. I'm not talking about Digital Devil Saga. I'm not talking about Persona. I'm talking about the core series of Shin Megami Tensei, which is only up to 3. So, in the
They all feel about the same. They all, you know, they're unforgiving RPGs.
It's not so much about the difficulty or anything like that. It's about the context of the game. Like a Persona game is a little bit more lighthearted, and the focus is more on the, you know, the social aspect and like getting to know the world and all the characters in it.
Yeah, and isn't that how you get farther in the game is by
chat
conversating
people up.
With yeah.
So, and don't get me wrong, I would love to see a Persona 5 too, but for Shin Megami Tensei, it is much more about, like with Nocturne, which is the third game in the series, it was about choosing the fate of the world.
And, you know, that is a pretty pretty big decision. So
right, and that's what it was. It was a brand new world, and it was a whole bunch of ideals fighting each other. Is, you know, will the strongest take over and kill all the weak? Will the smart people take over? Will the caring people take over? Now, they are bringing Shin Megami Tensei 4. This is going to happen, but the problem is, for me, they're putting it on the 3DS. I want to see, and this kind of, like I said, the sequel I want is the 4, but I guess the remake portion of it is, I don't want it on the 3DS. I want it on the
big screen.
Yes, I want it on the PS3 or the 360. Or I'll even wait. I'll wait until it's on, you know, the next generation of consoles. I think the story and the basis of these games need to be told at a more grandiose scale. I do think that something that's going to support, you know, a larger story is where it should be. I think that's a better medium to put it
on. I thought the ones that were on the DS were, you know, offshoots of the storyline. They weren't like official continuations of the storyline.
Correct. They are offshoots.
Well, I mean, that's what handhelds are for, is, you know, the offshoots. Like you said, don't put Persona 5 on a handheld. Put a main game on a handheld.
But that's what they're doing, is they're going to put a main game on the handheld so far. And don't get me wrong, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to go through it, but I just wish that it was on something larger. And I understand why they're not doing it. Financially, it's really tough to, you know,
hard RPGs are, unless they've got a very nice art style like Persona's, you know, Persona does, because that's what that whole game is about. You know, all your characters look very different, and they look, you know, you feel like it could be here today, like those characters could be living today in Japan somewhere with the way they dress and everything. Whereas those games, you know, Digital Devil Saga, is that right?
That's one of them. The main
those games are just really hard, and
the big thing, yeah, and what you're getting to is, yeah, it's not going to sell that well, or it's not going to sell like a GTA or a Call of Duty, but if you put it on,
or even Persona, I mean, it wouldn't even sell as well as Persona, you know what I mean?
If they put it on the PS3 or the 360, these take large development crews, and they take a lot of cost
and hours,
to make.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of, unfortunately, you know, developers like that do have to come to the 3DS. But I wish we were in a perfect world and we could have Shin Megami Tensei 4 on.
Well, in this topic, Stephen, we can have whatever perfect world we want to.
Well, the perfect world, it's coming, and it's coming tomorrow. I want this game. So, yeah, that was our selection.
Main topic.
That was our selection of sequels or remakes or anything like that. If you want to tell us what, you know, sequel or remake you want to see, feel free to email us at level7cast@gmail.com. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, or, you know, any other social outlets. But for the minute,
we could be having a mailbag section next week with your name on it. So
exactly. So we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to be back with our final three topics.
Okie dokie.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
And welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. Let's go ahead and get into our final three topics. Amazon claims the Wii U has a November 11 release date and will cost $249. Should we think this has any truth behind it?
Well, it's been a couple... been 3 or 4 days now since that news broke, and there's nobody refuting it, so I'm assuming that it's true.
I'm not, and I'll tell you why I'm not. If the Wii U was coming out in 2 months, we'd already be seeing commercials for it, we'd be seeing ads for it. Nintendo's not going to let the marketing possibilities for the system go to waste. They're not going to just market it for 1 month.
Because, I don't know. I mean, after you start marketing things for too long, things have a diminishing return. You know, people start getting less hyped about things the longer they hear about it.
But you have to inform the consumer. 1 month may not be enough to inform your consumer base that it's going to be coming out. Remember, the Wii is much more of a casual system. So there are, you know, the hardcore people like you and I who are going to know when it comes out. But the casual fan, the majority fan base of the Wii, isn't going to be looking at gaming news websites and keeping track of when this system's going to come out. They're going to get the information from commercials and ads and things.
So then why hasn't Nintendo came right out and refuted this then?
Who knows?
They've done this when the Wii came out and this happened, because I distinctly remember this happening, Nintendo came out and said... That wasn't true. I don't see why they wouldn't do that with this. I mean, there's even three price points.
They haven't refuted it, but they haven't confirmed it either. They haven't come out and said anything. So I'm not taking their silence as them admitting it. I'm taking their silence as silence, that they just haven't gotten to it yet.
I'm taking the silence as I'm not saying it's unheard of that it could be true.
It could be true. I'm just saying I don't think that... I would think they would give themselves more time to tell people.
More talks on Valve developing hardware. A job posting on their website indicates they will be manufacturing some type of hardware. Do you think... or what do you think this could be?
Well, in the job posting, the thing that jumped out to me was the mention of ergonomics. You know, they want someone who can give something.
Do all kinds of different things.
No, ergonomics refers to how comfortable your controller is.
Oh, basically. Okay. I thought you were referring to the guy that they were looking for the job.
Well, no, just the job description. Because you're right, the person they want for the job has to be extremely qualified. They were saying something like 6 years in high profile technology experience.
And distributing, yeah. But so, they said the basic input, this is what they said, even basic input, the keyboard and mouse haven't really changed in any meaningful way over the years. Is that what you're talking about?
Something like that. Now, what that leads me to think, and this is kind of...
But what do they want? Floating keyboards? I mean, why would you have to take something that works perfectly already and change it? Why?
Who says the keyboard and mouse works perfectly?
There's people that... I mean, obviously, it works perfectly for people that play in major tournaments. I mean, they're not complaining about it. There's people that specifically say they would rather play games on the keyboard and mouse than on a controller.
But there are also there are also people who say that they won't play on a keyboard and mouse. So maybe they're going to try...
the option already of plugging a controller into their computer.
Maybe... Well, for like adapters and stuff like that, maybe Valve is trying to make more of a mainstream alternative to the keyboard and mouse. That's what I think they're going to do.
Like, in what way is this console going to be more than a PC with a controller and the Valve software on it?
I did not say that they're coming out with a console. I said they're coming out with more of a mainstream input device that is an alternative to the keyboard and mouse.
It's going to be a console.
Well, I mean, there's been that rumor, and it could very well be that. But I think that it's going to, I mean, just reading that makes me think that it's going to be some type of alternative input device. Like I said, it's a lame answer, but that's what I think it's going to be.
It would be a lame piece of hardware, too, just a controller or something like that. They better step it up.
The new Zelda for the Wii U has a current release date of 2014, and it's said to be the biggest Zelda game ever. There are talks of the game also having revolutionary gameplay. What are your thoughts on what is going to be the biggest, baddest Zelda yet?
It could be a dream come true from what I was reading. I mean, just reading through the release of this from the source sounds, I mean, it sounds amazing. I'm not going to lie. I'm very skeptical of a lot of things, especially from news sites and sources and stuff like that. But I don't know. A lot of this piqued my interest from what I was reading.
Yeah, they were talking about how large the dungeons are going to be. And that's pretty cool. They were saying that the demo dungeon was as big as Hyrule Field.
And the original Ocarina, yeah.
So, you know, they really are thinking about being really large. And they're talking about each dungeon playing differently.
Like hour-long dungeons. Like hours-long dungeons, you know, where you could get through Ocarina dungeons sometimes in half an hour. Hmm. Whereas they're saying this one, it could take multiple hours and have three-part dungeons. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, and they, like I said, each dungeon's supposed to have its own little gameplay quirk, and it uses the controller differently for each dungeon. So that, you know, that's pretty cool. I'm wary of using the touch controls and putting a gimmick in, but I'm always wary of that. Nintendo,
since they do have the control scheme already, I'm hoping that's only for, like, you know, throwing the boomerang or something. That's as far as I hope it goes. Like Spirit Track controls, that would be horrible. I would cry.
Yeah, Nintendo has a bad habit of forcing their new gameplay, you know, mechanic into
and
games.
The gimmicks and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, which I'm not a fan of, but we'll see if they're talking about changing up for every dungeon. They're also
The source says they've got hundreds of people working on this one. I mean, hundreds of people, and they said it's going to be the most expensive game that they've spent on up to date. They said it's a huge investment for them in money and manpower, and this is like Rockstar GTA territory in terms of money.
Yeah, and I can definitely believe that because, I mean, it's Zelda. You know it's going to sell well.
Well, it sounds like they're banking the Wii U on the system. It's they even had the controller was influenced from the game. They had things added to the Wii U controller just so it would be able to work in this new Zelda.
Now, the other things I'm excited about for this game, they were talking about how the music score is going to be very, very large. It's going to be hours and hours of music, which I like.
Orchestrated, yeah.
Yeah, that's a variety in the soundtrack. That makes me happy as, you know, being a music audio guy.
To be honest, though, the source did sound like a rep from Nintendo with how they were leaking it, you know? So, I mean, did Nintendo actually leak this?
It's possible, but they were saying that this source is pretty reliable because he's been pretty spot on with some other stuff. It could be a Nintendo insider. I mean, it is possible. And the other thing they were talking about, you know, people have been saying, well, we want a darker art style. We want a more mature Link, but they're saying that it's going to go the way of Skyward Sword, where it's a little bit more vibrant. I'm actually okay with that. I think Zelda should be a little bit more vibrant and colorful and a little less dark.
It's never been, you know, it's never been Dark Souls, you know what I mean? It's a Zelda game.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. They should stick to that color palette, a little bit more, a little brighter.
I'll agree with you. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and they haven't said anything about the story, but really, who cares?
Yeah. It fits into the storyline, I couldn't give more of a crap about.
Especially after they released the Zelda timeline. Like, nothing in the world made me care less about the Zelda storyline than that stupid timeline.
I mean, the storyline is somebody takes Zelda or something's wrong with Hyrule, and you're Link. You're the only person in the entire planet who can stop this.
And
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I'm perfectly okay with that storyline.
Like, who actually played the Zelda games for the storyline? I know you didn't. I know I didn't.
There's people that fervently follow this storyline, you know, the Zelda storyline. So there's obviously people that care about
it. And they make medication for people like that. So we have come to the conclusion of episode 26.
Hopefully we've made enough of you mad with Steven's comment.
Do not care.
Please send us mail about that. That would be great. We'll, you know, we'll read it.
Send us plenty of hate mail because I don't care about the Zelda storyline. So, what do you plan to do with the rest of your day, Kevin?
Probably go watch either some more Dragon Ball Z or play some... Infuriate myself with some more spirit tracks on the DS.
Yeah, good luck with that one. I have every intention of just laying around and either playing music or playing video games today. Today is Steven Wants to Be Happy Day. I'm going to try to stick with that. It's my mantra for today. Just be happy. Just do things. Be lazy and do what makes me happy.
Just try not to think about the sun eventually burning out.
Yeah, that day.
Eventually. Eventually.
Not in my lifetime, so I don't care. So, until next week, goodbye.
Adios.